Welcome to the Inspired Energy Podcast and the special Roaring 20 series, where we connect with inspiring leaders, experts, and coaches as they reflect on the past decade, sharing their insights, tips, stories, and lessons. And then we look to the upcoming decade, where we discuss their hopes, dreams, goals for their areas of expertise and also the broader humanity. So grab your dancing shoes or your favorite drink as we head into the Roaring 20s. Ian, welcome to the podcast as we're looking at 2020, the Roaring 20s, about to kick off, end of 2019. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I've known you for a few years, and I think that you've got a wicked sense of humor, and I'm sure that's going to come out in this conversation.
Potentially.
However, we didn't get you on here to talk about your sense of humor. As funny as you are, I think there's some great stuff that you do in the work that you do, and also just the perspective that you've got around what's been happening in the world of corporate. So thank you for your time today.
Great. Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, thanks, mate. So founder of Rounded Consulting.
Yes.
Tell me a bit about Rounded Consulting and what you do.
So Rounded Consulting. So we are a very small, very niche firm. We are effectively myself and some very close friends who really got together a few years back now when I came back to Australia, and had similar thoughts and values, and were a little bit sick of not being given the opportunity to really deliver instead of working in a lot of environments where we're all part of cogs that didn't necessarily get to turn in the end. So with that kind of thought in mind, we kept in touch. We're an ABN together, yep. And we've been trying to work together as much as possible with organisations that want those sorts of skills and people, and that's what we do now.
And the consulting work that you do, what do you absolutely love doing with organisations?
So I always say it's about solutions, and if someone can refer to me as a safe set of hands, then I'm a happy person.
Okay.
So I do project management, program management, strategic delivery and development, all the kind of corporate type fixed problems is how I would refer to it.
Okay. And when you're in that state of flow, when it's just absolutely, you know, energizing, for me, it's in front of a group facilitating and they get the chance to riff and talk through and support that team. What does it look like for you? What are you doing?
For me, it's very much about having that drop moment. So I've always said that when you start a new major transformation or a new major program, you go through ebbs and flows, and those ebbs and flows usually take the look and feel of, oh, this is a fantastic opportunity, what a great opportunity this is, and don't I want to be part of this, and can I see this being a fantastic solution? And then about 24 hours into the contract or the piece of work, you say, oh, wow, this is a massive piece of work, and how are we ever going to get this done? And I was a fool to say yes to this. And then 48 hours after that, you say, oh, no, this is amazingly simple, and this is absolutely going to work. I'm going to have to find something else to take up my time. And you kind of bounce between those two extremes until it waves off into a, okay, I can see a pathway forward. And so for me, it's about getting to that middle ground when the pendulum has kind of hit back to base. And seeing the pathway to delivery and feeling secure that you are going to get there. That's also usually where I hand off to someone else and look for my next challenge.
Yeah, okay. Now, I think what I've heard over the years is the message that project management forgets about the people side of things. It's about the systems, about the process, about getting it done. Have you heard that? What's your perspective on that?
Oh, I agree with that 100%. I think for me, we're all about the people. Rounded Consulting is a result of understanding that we have broken the back of technology now. You know, technology was very big over the last 10 years as far as discovering what it could do and how it could help the corporate environment. Now it's all about people focus, and I've seen organisations certainly turned to that people focus, whereas we started out, I think, 6 or 7 years ago, there was a big focus on transformation, and that slowly evolved into digital transformation. And now I think we're seeing a shift into customer experience and member experience. That's certainly been where we're focusing in the last couple of years. I think that will continue on. So I completely agree, it's all about the people. I think that people make the project. I think one or two bad eggs can really spoil something. And I think part of the challenge is identifying those bad eggs up front and turning them good.
Yeah, okay, okay. Now, it is 2019. We're at the end of a decade.
Indeed.
Yeah, and it's exciting. The 2020 is about to kick off. So we're at the end of the noughties. What's been something, when you reflect back on the past 10 years, that you are proud of, something you've achieved? Let's just take a moment to reflect and celebrate, because you know what? I don't think we do enough of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. You know, I think that's one of the things that during the course of our friendship you really showed me, helped me with, is that the ability to reflect on your achievements. So for me, it's certainly been obviously the establishment and I think the growth of the consulting business professionally. Privately, I moved back to Australia about 3 years ago, or nearly four now. And since then, I've been nesting, very much nesting in my personal life. So my wife and I moved back together and we've purchased a house and done a lot of renovations over the last 4 months. I think that's reflective in my work as well, I think. Setting up around consulting and really doing renovations on that business, looking at what we can deliver, how we can deliver it, how we can do it well, what works, what doesn't work, all those lessons that then kind of reshape how you provide that offering. So that's my pride moment. I think when I look at what we've done and kind of reflect on how well that's going and the opportunity that's going to give us going forward.
Yeah. Great. And I love hearing a man say nesting. I think that's a term that gets thrown around that women do. But I think as men, we do that as well in different ways. And I can see that in you. You're nesting and I like the sound of that a lot.
Yes, I like a good nest. It depends on the scale. I think I'm talking to you from my home office today, which is effectively a very small bedroom that I've converted into a bit of a den. And it's my small focused nest, and then that grows out into the larger house and onto the wider world. So yeah, I think you're going to feel comfortable wherever you're working.
I totally get that as well. And I understand that. And I love the idea, and I don't know if you've explored this, but different parts of the house can give you different inspiration or different mindsets. So for me, I've got an office similar to yourself where there it's very focused, very, you know, what's the work I need to get done and what's a project or some information or a report. And then if I need to a bit more big picture thinking, I sort of go outside and sit out in the garden for a little while.
I was going to ask, yeah, absolutely. So do you have that space where you just allow yourself to roam and free in your mind?
Well,
is that your garden?
Yeah, so in the backyard, we've got a deck that overlooks nature, and at the moment there's a horse behind us, and just watching the horse just do its own thing and just move around. And I actually really enjoy watching the horse move around. And before that, we had sheep and goats next door. So that in itself just gives you a different perspective. But I even sometimes just go for a walk with the dog, and doing that goes, okay, I get a different perspective. And what I try and do is bring that to people in offices, because we put them in an office, we put them in a room, or put them in a cubicle, and then say, now think differently.
Yes.
Yes. Got to get out of those spaces for that creativity and imagination to come in, I think.
I completely agree with you. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like yourself, I very much enjoy nature. And a friend of mine from the UK, he was actually my best man. He's in the course of a number of years has set up a juice and yoga retreat in Portugal. And every time I talk to him on FaceTime, I can look over his shoulder and see the views that he has from this lovely retreat. And it calms me even through the screen. I see it and I think he must be the most chilled out person in the world. It's fantastic. I'm lucky enough to have a beach where I am. That's nice.
Yeah, that is nice. Well, I think I need to know more about this retreat in Portugal as well. That does sound pretty special too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think we need to get out there, I think, for a live podcast next month.
Oh, awesome. I love it. Now tell me, what do you reckon the future looks like going ahead?
So generally speaking, I think from a business perspective, I see definitely that human aspect being a focus over the next 10 years. I work with a lot of organizations right now who have gone through either one or two iterations of their transformation and have realized that actually technology is a much of a muchness. If you dial in the right technology for your organization, then you'll be able to deliver that from a black and white perspective. It's the people using that technology and the technology that's supporting people that's important. If you're not providing support in the right way, then you're not going to get the job done. And so for me, it's very much that focus on people going forward and how best to evolve to make sure that we're making workplaces more suitable for people. And we're already seeing that through the amount of flexible working that's going on. That's very commonplace now, again, supported by technology. We're seeing that through just the way that teams are interacting. So activity-based working is, again, a very big thing now, whereas it wasn't so much 5 or 14 years ago. But we're seeing that's becoming commonplace, starting with these larger organisations. But I think as this gets dialed in as far as how it's delivered, it'll filter down to some smaller organisations. And then, of course, you've got people like myself who are effectively individual consultants working in a group of other individual consultants. And that flexible working is essential. I found over the last 12-24 months, things like Zoom, like Microsoft Teams, you know, these allow you to be in an environment that is effectively as good as being in an office. So then you just make the choice whether you want the office space or not. I hear you
about that term of transformation. And do you think it's an overused term? Like the amount of times we hear at organizations, we're going through a transformation. Do you think that's run its course?
Absolutely. I say absolutely. Look, I don't think transformation is run its course. I think transformation is continual and inevitable, whether you control it or not. Okay. Transformation takes place. I think that the term transformation and digital transformation to a greater degree is used to try and describe a goal for an organisation. I want to digitally transform usually means I want to move from an antiquated position to something that allows me to do what I want to do with ease, with flexibility. And we see that a lot. I saw that a lot in financial organisations. Financial digital transformation for me was one of the first cabs off the rank. And now we're seeing it much more in other aspects of organisations. Mm-hmm. I think it's overused as far as counting on transformation to be the solution to problems. But I think it still has a very big place in organisations that do want to do a bit of self-reflection and modernise as a result of that self-reflection.
So how do we as organisations get the people focus back, the human experience back?
It's a really good question, isn't it?
How much time have we got? Yeah, I don't
exactly right. I don't think there's a nutshell answer to you. I kind of feel like there's a, from my perspective, it's doing the sort of work that I think you do without going to blow too much smoke. I think that the kind of work you do in bringing people together and understanding what drives and motivates people, and then that strengths-based lens that you put on that, and helping people move forward. For me, that unlocks potential quickly, easily, and accurately. And everything I've seen around that allows people to work better because they're reflecting upon themselves and they're leveraging to their advantage what their strengths are. Organisations, I think, need to be able to do that en masse. Tougher and tougher for HR teams to work in the ways they have been working because people want to work differently. I think people are becoming more aware of strengths as well. And as a result of that, they're almost forcing organisations to transform when they like it or not.
What do you reckon? Like if we jump forward 10 years, 2029, you'll be like 68 by then. No, you're younger than me, I know, my friend. I'm just wondering. In 10 years, 2029, what do you think it's, what do you hope it looks like within businesses?
Yeah. Look, I mean, the typical organisation shouldn't exist by then. I don't. There is no typical. There's no single picture that could paint it. I think that services in general and the need for services will be rapidly rethought and are being rapidly rethought at the moment. I mean, the need for clinical, educational, insurance, government systems is very much a work in progress. I mean, you look at things like Service New South Wales, which I was lucky to be a part of in the very early days. That is revolutionising how people are accessing government services and is doing a really good job at it. Now, the reality of that is that that is your typical duck floating on water. It is a very well-presented front end, and beneath the water there is a lot of very frantic moving parts, amazing moving parts, but they're doing a lot of work to provide a service that looks finished, looks clean and easy, and it is easy effectively for those using it. So that's for me the tip of the iceberg, is that I think 2029 will be, as I say, a rapid shift in how people perceive their need for services across the board. And as a result of that, new industries will form, new opportunities will open as far as what people's career paths look like and what they do. This idea of flexible working will be out the window because there won't be any such thing as either working in an office or working flexibly. To make that choice. And that will take, I think, far less than 10 years. For me, from a professional perspective, 10 years' time is to today as today was to the 1960s, I think. We're just on that exponential curve.
Yeah, and I think so, and I think you're absolutely right. And I actually think it's even going to be hard to articulate and predict what that looks like because the change is so rapid. The change in systems, the change of ways of working, the opportunities to work differently. I actually think about the model we still have that we operate off now, though, where we've got thousands of people in cities around the world jamming into cars, jamming to public transport to get to work by a certain time, sit there and then go home again. And whether that's going to look like that in the future, I actually don't think it does. And I actually don't think it's the healthiest way for people to work either.
I completely agree with you. And you must have seen this in your dealings with people, I hope, maybe you can let me know, is that once you stop doing that, once you find your work-life balance, and that's an antiquated term now. But once you find that, you are all round, I think, a more satisfied person. I know that for me, doing more work from home, even just over the last couple of months, has meant that I've been able to reconnect with my animals, to spend more time with my wife, with my family. I just got back from another visit to my dad for his 73rd birthday. That was unthinkable last year. So all these things then make me a happier person and then allow me to be more functioning or profitable, all the things that then help you then reinvest in your life. So for me, yeah, absolutely. I think the mind shift is happening. And the more it happens, the better snowball gets. Are you seeing that with those more of the coaching services? And
100% I am. And my own personal journey in the past 5 years, and prior to that, I did work for companies where I was based out of home. But to do it my own and on my own arrangement, I love how I can be more of myself. And I think that's what you're saying. And being more of myself, I actually feel more empowered for the way I show up for my family. And then also I am more productive. When I'm on, I feel like I'm more on, and it's easy to switch off when I need to as well. Yes. And I would never go back to the day-to-day grind, that's for sure. And the other part is I am seeing that more and more with people, but also not just people that are starting their own businesses, but people in corporations or in roles in organizations where there is more of that flexibility, that working from home or having a meeting at a cafe or having a lunch where there is a real focus on problem solving and talking through it, not just the old 80s, it's a long lunch and we now go back to work and we had too much to drink. Like it's actually a real productive reason for doing it.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Those flexible work environments have just become parcel with the environment around you. I think it's great to see that, at least in Sydney, I don't know about other cities, but it's great to see that Sydney is being is thinking about that as well and creating more spaces where that can happen. I never used to be able to find just a quiet place that wasn't a cafe to sit down and meet with someone, whereas now you have all these wonderful spaces being built, and they're really making the human interactions a big part of day-to-day life. That for me has been a shift over the last 10 years.
It's a really good point. I've noticed that in some of the building design and some of the building renovations lately and some of the spaces that are being created where there's nature coming into the space, there's also designs which are considering the acoustics so that you can actually sit there and have a quiet and a confidential conversation with some good coffee, which is a key part, of course, and have those conversations outside of the office structure. Yeah, yes. I totally agree. You started to mention before, and I think I cut you off a little, about some personal goals or what it looks like for you going forward. And I've been encouraging people to put those out there to the world, because when you do, it actually makes it real.
Yeah, I think you're right. You feel even though it's on a small scale, you're on the hook for it to yourself, if nothing else. That's good. Look, personal goals for the next 10 years. Gosh, I mean, my wife and I, as I say, have been improving our home. I think to settle that fairly soon back into a manageable position where we can just exist for a while. And for us, it's about focusing on our own sense of calmness, our own sense of priority. We've been married now for 4 years, but together for the best part of a decade. And for us, it's about just ensuring that as we move from our 20s to our 30s to our 40s, that we are doing that together. So for me, my personal goal is to make sure that I'm doing that as a partner to my wife. I wouldn't say I'm an open podcast that I'm aiming for children, but she wouldn't allow me to. But I think, you've got to think about your family. At the moment, we've got two lovely cats and a dog, and that's a great family for us. So looking at what that looks like. And certainly with the business, I think for me, it's making that business work, making sure that we can gather a more like-minded professionals. Because for us, it's all about working with people that we just connect with. And I think, I don't know the recipe for that, but I know that when you do connect with someone, you know it straight away. So keeping those connections close, because then, course, you turn that into a profitable profitable emotionally as well as commercially.
Yeah.
Business. So they're my immediate goals. They're a bit empty.
Yeah. No. I we could explore, and I will. I'll catch up with you to make them a bit more specific, so that we're really working towards something. Put some dates around them. Let's just say.
Yeah, it was just evidence. It's been too long between coffees, Murray.
Yes. Yes. I can feel that. Thank you. Now. I'm giving you an opportunity right now to engage a skywriter. And that skywriter is going to put your message, whatever it is, and they're going to fly around the world, and everybody's going to see that. Everyone's going to notice that, and they can't avoid it. It's the Ian Donaldson plane that's flying around with this message. What's that message you'd love that you just wish everyone heard?
It's a heavy question.
It's a heavy question on the spot. And whatever, there's no wrong here.
I think the message from me to the masses, not that anyone would be reading, would be that it's going to be okay. I think there's a lot of tension running around in people's lives at the moment, professionally and personally. That tension, from my mind, is very legitimate, because it's how you feel. But I think that tension is created by the world around us, that a lot of which people aren't in charge of, people don't have control over, and they feel that. And so for me, message is it's going to be fine. And once you learn to depend on your friends and your family and those around you who you can depend on, then you realise very quickly that actually it's going to be okay.
I can I just say I love that. I think that you're right. If we actually pause and we reflect on some of the things happening around the world right now and the last couple of years and some of the stress that is creating, mindful that that doesn't generate a level of complacency, but it just gives people a bit of that, I guess, knowing that it is going to be okay. And from the, oh, this project's overrunning, the whole sky's falling down, to something's happening in their life, but you know what? It's all going to be okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Come here to prevail, I think. I think over the last 10 years, I think certainly I'm 37 years old. Thank you for mentioning my age earlier. but from 27 to 37, when I was 27, I was running around like a headless chook, thinking, got to do this today or it's never going to happen sort of thing. Whereas at 37 now, I'm much, I think much more, relaxed about timing, and I've noticed that once you become more relaxed about timing, all those things you want, all those things that you're looking for, all those things you're working towards, they come to you. They come to you at the right pace.
Yeah.
So I very much believe in all those sayings. You know, what's for you will not pass through those wonderful things.
I hear you. I got that too. Now, where's the one best place people could connect with you online to find out more about Rounded Consulting?
Absolutely. Very simply, www.roundedconsulting.com. No.au, just .com.
.com, because we are global at Rounded Consulting. I can hear that right there.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good place to go. That shows you all of our services and talks a bit about us and who we are and what we do and what we can offer. So,
Fantastic. Ian, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciated your openness, reflecting on the past decade, personally, professionally, what the next decade looks like, the roaring 20s we're about to hit into. And please, guys, check out Rounded Consulting for more about the amazing work that Ian does. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you got something out of this episode, make sure you share it on social media, hashtag Inspired Energy, and also use the hashtag Roaring 20s. And look out for the next episode of the Roaring 20s podcast series.